And I'm Sue.
And this is Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Hello. Tonight we'll be looking at the thorny question of drugs.
Yes, we'll be asking the question all responsible parents want to know. Namely, are our kids having a damn sight more fun than we did?
We'll also be looking at the controversial question of sex and asking the question,
are our kids having more fun than we did?
We'll also be looking at the question of the future. What does it hold? What will the world be like in 50 years' time? We'll be asking the questions that every concerned and responsible parent wants to know.
Why are the little buggers having so much more fun than we did?
Now, tonight is a very important night for us here on the show. Tonight, for the very first time, you can phone in live as the program goes to air and give us your views on anything you want to talk about.
Yes, indeed. We're throwing the lines open, so call us.
You can also talk to us online by email at chat@bbc.co.uk. Only please don't, because we really don't know how it works.
Or you can fax us, but don't, because the fax machine's upstairs in the office and frankly, we're not going to bother. Tonight is our special phone-in edition. Phone in, perhaps, about parenting or house hunting or any other topic that interests you.
Now, I'd like to know, for example, what you think about money and sport.
You're not interested in sport.
No, but I am in money. Seems to me that a lot of sports people these days are more interested in doing commercials than they are in playing. According to some reports, there seems evidence that some footballers are doing so many adverts it's starting to get to them.
Well, a terrific game there. The final result, 3-2, and here with me is the scorer of that last vital goal. Talk us through it.
Well, sometimes when it's 2-2 and only a minute to go, you want that extra lift, and that's when you need one of Ian's through balls.
But once you're through there, the goalkeeper seemed a little uncertain.
Ian's been putting together through balls for over 10 years now, and they're as good today as they've always been. Light, accurate, with just enough pace. Ian's through balls can really make the difference.
Okay, thank you. Well, it was a better second-half performance altogether, though, wasn't it? In the first half, the whole team, well, to me, they looked a wee bit tense and nervous.
Tense? Nervous? You could be suffering from an indecisive skipper.
Well, he does seem to have lost his form a little.
Tony's form can go down as well as up, and you may not get the full transfer value you invested. Playing conditions may vary, and Tony's past playing ability is not necessarily a guide to the future. See press for details.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us.
It's good to talk.
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue. But what do you mean I'm not interested in sport? I am interested in sport.
We're taking calls on any subject under the sun that you want to share with us. Parenting, house buying, or perhaps you have an opinion on men and why they feel they have to be interested in sport.
I am actually, really. I'm a lifelong supporter of Manchester Rovers.
Are you really a man if you don't like sport? Call us. On the line is John.
Hello.
Hello, John. You're through to Mike and Sue. Do you want to talk about parenting or house hunting?
I wanted to talk about my girlfriend.
What's the trouble, John?
I think she's getting bored with me.
Getting bored with you?
Yeah, that's right. I don't want to lose her, but I can sense that she's just slipping away.
Okay, so you've got trouble with a slippery chick. Well, you just talk... You just talk to your Uncle Mike.
I'm sorry.
He knows how to stop the skirt stray and get the little lady home.
Mike! What's got into you?
I'm counselling soon.
So what is all this medallion man talk?
It's not medallion man, it's counselling talk. Putting the caller at his ease.
He's not going to put him at his ease. He's going to think he's being counselled by the singer from Black Lace.
John! Still there, mate?
Yes, Mike.
Man talk here on Mike and Sue. So you think your woman's got a roving eye, hmm?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What makes you think that?
Well, she's always looking at other blokes and talking about blokes she's seen, and when some actor or other who she likes comes on the telly, right, she sits there saying, whoa, you know, and look at him, and how tasty this one is, you know, and stuff like that.
And this means she's having an affair, does it?
Well, I don't know.
Sounds to me like she's just a high-spirited lady with an eye for the guys. Now, can I ask you a question, John?
Yeah?
Do you keep the little lady happy, if you know what I mean?
No, I...
No, what I'm saying is, are you,
What?
Put it this way, are we talking about the highest pinnacles of ecstasy, the foothills of foreplay, or haven't you left base camp yet? Are you still waiting for a couple of Sherpas to come and help you out?
Sorry, I'm not following you.
Well, let me put it another way, John. Are you steaming down the main line, calling at all stations to Climax Central? Or are you just Thomas the Tank Engine, puffing down the branch line and having signal failure near Didcot?
Not sure I understand you, Mike.
Oh. Look, I don't know if I can make it much clearer, John. Let me put it this way. Are you sending the lady into orbit while the Earth moves below you, or are you trying to board the Mir space station with a bent docking probe?
Oh, you talking about our sex life?
Oh, congratulations, John. The analogy has landed.
Well, there's nothing wrong with our sex life, no.
Let me be the judge of that, mate. How often are you griddling her oatcakes, then?
Well, about 5 times a week, actually, usually.
What?
5 times a week, he said, Mike.
I know what he said. 5 times a week?
John, are you there? I'm afraid you'll have to wait a moment. Mike's just having a minor heart attack. So let's take another call. We've got Alan in Edgbaston. What's your point about parenting or house hunting, Alan?
I wanted to talk about what the Conservative Party should do to get electable again.
Alan, one word, why? Let's move on to someone who wants to talk rather than tranquilise. We've got Celia in Ipswich.
Oh, hello, yes. Well, I was just thinking this afternoon while I was pottering about the house, about this phrase that I've always wondered about. I wonder if you could help me with it. Why do you think a baker's dozen?
Why a baker's dozen? Tell me, Celia, are the phone rates particularly cheap tonight, or, do you just have money to burn?
Because I thought it might be something to do with bakers in olden days not being able to count very well.
No, I think it refers to the fact that the baker would always have a little bit of dough left over after they'd pressed out a dozen, so they'd get all the leftover bits, make them into a fruitcake, and then send it to live in Ipswich.
Let's move away from the phones for a while and on to our first topic tonight, the minefield of becoming a parent. Now, in these times of high divorce rates and single parents, many people worry about the future of the family. I, for example, worry about all three of mine.
Yes, indeed. We followed 2 first-time parents through the exciting but exhausting experience of bringing a new life into the world. Then we went away for 9 months and came back to watch them going through the birth as well.
Nastasia is expecting her first child. She and her life partner, Moonbase, have determined to have the child by entirely natural means.
Yeah, no drugs.
No drugs, right. Yeah,
no drugs, right. No drugs used at the birth.
Yeah, no drugs.
No drugs used at the birth.
That's right, no drugs, no.
What about the conception?
Oh, I can't actually remember.
No, neither can I. That was pretty good stuff, that was.
It's 2:30 a.m. Nastasia has begun her contractions.
Quick! Moonbase!
Huh?
I've had a contraction!
Oh, well.
Dar 999!
What, the pigs? What do we want with them, fascists?
Not the pigs! Ambulance!
Why, have the pigs beaten you up, fascist? And you're pregnant as well!
Moonbase and Nastasia have been planning for this moment for 9 months, determined not to succumb to the sinister multinational pharmaceutical industry conspiracy. They have researched natural methods of childbirth and pain relief, beginning with Tibetan breathing exercises.
This is something the people of Tibet have used for thousands of years. It's based on the natural breathing patterns of the yak. Now, breathe, Stassi, breathe. Great. That's great. Great.
She sounds terrible.
Have you ever heard a yak in labour?
No.
Well, there you are, then. If you had, you'd know she actually sounds brilliant. Are you okay, Stas? Great.
So, Nastasia, is this helping?
Not in the slightest. I feel terrible.
At the local hospital, the staff waste no time in bringing Nastasia up to the maternity unit. Now the second part of her plan swings into action.
Well, as you know, our plan is to have an entirely natural birth with no drugs. And this is a Venezuelan birthing blanket.
I see.
Do you see the stitching and the quilting? It's a sacred artifact handed down by the female elders of the tribe from generation to generation.
Yeah, the label says British Home Stores.
Yeah, well, I'm not Venezuelan, am I? That would be sacrilegious.
I see.
But the birthing blanket helps the mother and it calms her pains.
Is it working?
Not in the slightest.
Now, it's time to move on to the Ukrainian maternity chant. We've been practicing these for many months in anticipation of this moment. Are you ready, Stas? Do, cha, mo, cha, is, ka, kra, kra, kra.
Is it working?
Not in the slightest, no. Right, there's nothing for it. We'll have to use the alchemical rites of the ancient days. I require some bat's blood, a silver sickle, and a north-facing window.
Nurse, any chance of an epidural?
Yes. When the moon's halfway across the manioc of Woton, it is said to be an epidural moon.
Drugs, give me drugs!
Do you remember, Stas? Those were your words to me when we very first met.
2 hours later, and Moonbase and Stas have a healthy baby son.
He's, like, just amazing. So tiny, and yet somehow so small.
And what are you going to call him?
Well, we're going to name him in memory of the forces that brought him into the world.
That's right. His name's GlaxoSmithKline Beecham.
And many, many thanks to Moonbase and Nastasia for allowing us to make that audio diary. Now, continuing with the subject of parenting, we have a fascinating guest on the show. All of us must at some time or another have marvelled at the incredible fact that human beings alone of all the species on the planet have developed speech. Kevin Lampeter is a professor of applied linguistics who, after years of research, has mastered the technique of talking like a 2-year-old. This amazing project will provide fascinating insights into language acquisition skills, as well as the formation of our social selves and our relations with those around us. Professor, good evening.
No.
Good evening.
No.
I gather this project has taken you over 12 years to complete.
12. 12, 11, 12.
Yes. Professor...
No.
12 years to complete.
No, no, no.
Oh, for God's sake, this is pointless.
Now, you've made a mistake. There, that is exactly the reaction the child wants.
Sorry?
What a toddler wants is a reaction. Any reaction, an angry reaction, is much better than no reaction at all. You see, so by reacting the way you did, the toddler has already won. Hmm? You see? You just committed the cardinal error.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Shut up, Mike.
You see, Sue, you fell into the old trap of thinking that children are little adults, whereas, in fact, adults are big children.
I don't believe you.
It's true.
Don't believe you, don't believe you. It's a load of old ploppy plops.
You've fallen for it again.
For what again?
Oh, the same stimulus-response pattern. And yet, I could reverse it now very easily by placing myself into the parent role and you into the toddler role.
How?
By simply disabling your ability to assimilate and react to the verbal responses.
Oh, what?
In effect, replicating the sensations of the toddler in your inability to respond to a verbal stimulus.
Pooh! Pooh, you're talking poo.
See, the point again is made. However, I could confuse matters now by suddenly switching to your level.
Oh, blah, 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 Mr. Pooh Talk.
Pooh Talk, Pooh Talk, talk a poo.
Hang on, what do you want about?
You see? Immediately, you have returned to your adult persona.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
Haven't.
Have.
Haven't. Haven't. Haven't.
Have, 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 have,
no,
have,
no,
have, have,
no,
have,
no, no, no. Oh, yes, you're right, I have.
Yeah, precisely. Now, this, you see, is the entire thrust of my research. My theory is that adults and toddlers converse in absolutely identical ways. It's just that adults know more words.
Fascinating. Professor Lampeter, thank you very much. What do you say?
Thank you.
Better. Now, all parents know that sad feeling that children's innocence is increasingly being lost in the modern world and that much of the magic of childhood is being forced away by commercial pressure.
And controversy has erupted over Hollywood's new version of Cinderella, described by its makers as a fairy tale for the 90s, co-written by John Grisham and retitled The Godmother Brief.
And you tell the DA's office no deals or I put Mitchelson on the stand on the Guile Walk. Got that?
Hello. I need a good lawyer.
Hey, you come to the best, baby. What is that on your foot?
Oh, why, it's the glass slipper. It fits, it fits.
Glass slipper? Is that safety glass? Shatterproof? Wire reinforced? I mean, does it match current safety standards for vitreous substances used in the manufacture of footwear?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Well, who makes these slippers? We'll sue their ass.
Well, they're mine. I wore them at the ball.
Who took responsibility for this event?
Prince Charming.
We'll sue his ass. The guy's loaded. I don't suppose you...
No! I left at midnight, but my coach had gone.
Who is driving this coach? Give me the name. We'll sue his ass. Premature abandonment of prearranged customer. Clear breach of contract.
No, not gone as in gone. It had turned back.
Turned back so he didn't even show up?
Turned back into a pumpkin.
A pumpkin?
At midnight.
Who arranged this method of transportation?
Why, my fairy godmother.
Uh-huh. We'll sue her ass.
Oh, no. Oh, no, you can't do that.
We'll sue her ass into the ground. I can't tell you how many statutes she has violated, knowingly providing a passenger-carrying vehicle liable to transform into a vegetable.
Oh, no, but...
Cinderella, you got away with it this time. Next time, you might be doing 70 miles an hour on the freeway when suddenly, bada-bing, your coach turns into a beef tomato and your ketchup, baby. Last week, I had a girl in here. Pricked a finger on a spinning wheel, fell asleep for 100 years. We sued the ass off the spinning wheel manufacturers. That girl is now a rich woman. Okay, so it's 97 years till she wakes up, but when she does, she'll be able to afford the best geriatric daycare in the state.
Oh, but you don't understand. I went to the ball because my ugly sister...
Hey, wait. Ugly sisters? Who called them ugly? We'll sue their ass. Derogatory facial descriptions, discriminatory language. I can get them $500,000 each. Maybe $1,000,000 if we find a really ugly jury.
Oh, but I don't want to sue anybody.
You don't want to sue anybody. You got a mutant stagecoach, facially challenged transvestites ordering you about, and you're dancing in shoes that could shatter any second. Leave your feet looking like you just got a pedicure from Freddy Krueger, and you don't want to sue.
Oh, no. I just want to live happily ever after.
I see. You want half when you divorce.
Exactly. Nail his ass into the ground.
That's my girl.
And now it's time for our big debate.
Yes, indeed. Each week we invite an invited audience and tackle the big issues.
This week we return to a subject that always inflames emotions.
We're asking, are things still getting out of hand?
Martin Fletcher, there in the fourth row.
Mike, I'm just an ordinary man in the street, right? I've got no education, right? I don't know much about politics and all that. I'm a down-to-earth, I'm a no-nonsense sort of bloke. You know, I'm not an expert. I just speak as I find, and I'll say what I think.
Yes,
and
you're also rather boring, so we'll move on.
Oh. There's a lady here with her hand up.
I think things have got out of hand, and it's all these adverts in the media and that. You know, I mean, my son, right, you'll see something on the telly, and he's got to have it, and I get no rest till he gets it. Mum, I've got to have that, buy me that, get me that, you know. The number of panty liners he's got is incredible.
And now, Mr. Viner, you're an expert.
Yes, I'm a senior lecturer in paleontology.
Pardon?
Paleontology. And we've done a paleontological study, and speaking purely paleontologically, things are beginning to get enormously paleontological.
Okay. Young lady in pink.
Cause like my brother, right, I mean, I know what he was saying, like, you know, the other day, but all that stuff about all that, I mean, up my way, right, I mean, it's all very well him saying that, right, but what about, cause like, I mean, it's all coming out now, right, isn't it? I mean, what I mean is, cause I know what I'm talking about, but like, she had that bulimia and all that, and like, she weren't never accepted into the royal family, and I think she's still alive, and they're keeping her in Swiss bank account.
Yeah, no, I'll have to stop you there because you're very stupid. And things really are getting out of hand.
You're listening to Life, Death, and Sex with Mike and Sue.
Right, so now it's back to your phone-in, and on the line is Neil in Nottingham, who wants to talk about football.
Oh, I'll take over here, sir.
Go ahead, Neil.
Well, it's about penalty shootout.
Oh, yes.
Go on.
Well, I reckon it's no way to decide a major tournament, is it, really? You know, I mean, like, 3 times, you know, England have gone out of a major tournament on a penalty shootout, and the 94 World Cup, you know, that was decided on, wasn't it?
I'm sorry to interrupt, Neil. So, should I explain what a penalty shootout is?
I do know what a penalty shootout is.
Oh, pardon me. Well, Neil, go ahead. You're talking to Sue, our world soccer correspondent.
All right. Well, you know, the thing is, right, I have some suggestions, right, for FIFA as to better ways to win the penalty shootout.
That old chestnut. Well, go ahead.
Mike, this is my caller.
Oh, I forgot. I expect you've got suggestions too, Sue. Hello, Neil.
All right.
Sue thinks that if there's a draw at the end of extra time, the match should be decided on which team have the player with the nicest legs.
Go on, Neil.
Well, right, my first suggestion, right, is that after extra time, right, if the score's a level and that, they should get six players from each team, right, meet up in the centre circle and have, like, a trivia quiz, you see? You could have any number of subjects like history, art and entertainment, geography, right? And whoever gets the most points wins the match. And my second suggestion is that the match goes to the team who have the player with the nicest legs.
Yes. Thank you to Neil there, future FIFA president. On the line is Gladys from Mitcham. Hello, Gladys.
Hello. Can I speak to Mike?
You're speaking to him. What's your point, Gladys?
Mike, why so brusque?
What? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, such a hurry. You weren't in such a hurry last time we met, were you?
Go on, Gladys.
Don't say you've forgotten me, Mike. Come on, chuckle bum. You gave me your phone number, you know, when you left.
I gave you this phone number?
It was very late. We'd had a lot to drink.
Oh, God, Gladys? I don't remember anyone called Gladys.
Well, I wasn't using my real name, Mike. Most lap dancers don't.
Lap dancers?
Don't you remember? Tuesday night.
Tuesday? I thought that was when you said you were going to a private view at the Royal Academy.
Well, it was a sort of private view. It just wasn't at the Royal Academy.
Well, thank you very much to Gladys and Mitcham. Very much indeed. So, we're talking about football and we're talking about Mike. Anyone else out there with dirt on Mike, please call in now.
No.
Sorry?
This isn't fair. Look, I'm going to storm off air.
Oh, you storm away. I'm quite happy to talk to everyone phoning in, all 86 of them.
86?
The switchboard's lit up all of a sudden.
But can't we go to another topic now?
Earlier on, you were very keen to show us what a man you are. I'm fascinated. However, in the meantime, we will move on to the subject of homes and property. Property, our living space, has always been important to us all the way through history, although, of course, some cultures achieved greater sophistication much earlier than others.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Changing Tombs. This week the Druids from Salisbury Plain and the Pharaohs from Cairo are going to give each other's properties a makeover. So let's go and see what the Pharaohs make of the Druids' place.
Well, it's a bit drab, isn't it?
Yes, I think they'd like something a bit bigger and more pointy.
Yeah, and not so near the A303. Yeah.
The Pharaohs call in top designer Inhotep Double Barrel Jones.
Okay, right. Well, it's very pagan, kind of Northern European sort of feel they've gone for. Mm-hmm. I think we want to go for something a bit more North African, kind of ethnic.
Ethnic, great, yes.
What I think would look really great would be to keep the sort of idea,
yes,
but go for more of a 300-foot-high pyramid.
That'd be nice.
About 200 yards each side, consisting of about 5 million individually quarried and dressed blocks of stone. Except, of course, we'll be using MDF.
Meanwhile, in Egypt, the Druids are redesigning the Pharaoh's place.
Well, of course, it's too much, isn't it?
It's just vulgar, really. What we really want is to get rid of most of these stones, say about 4,999,900 of them, and then just keep the rest and arrange them in a nice circle, perhaps with a nice maritime feel to it.
Oh, lovely.
The Druid's designer is Graham.
But professionally, I am known as Moonbase. And I think that a nice touch would be in the middle here to have a nice big sacrificial slab upon which the blood of virgins can be offered to the gods upon the solstice. Now, normally that would be in solid granite, but to make it easier to wipe clean, we'll be using MDF.
Well,
Perhaps the biggest shock to the UK property market came with the arrival of the Romans. They built new houses on greenfield sites all over the country, but more importantly, it is here, say historians, that we find records of the first appearance of professional estate agents.
Of course, they wore togas and were known as Mercator Estatus Tosserus. But apart from that, apparently they were much the same.
Okay, here we are. As you can see, it's the one room. Wattle and daub walls. Nice straw on the floor. And the door over there has a built-in draft excluder.
Lovely.
Well, it's a dead dog, but it acts as a draft excluder. Central heating from the fire here in the centre.
Right.
Nice hole in the roof to let the smoke out. It's on at 20 groats, but a similar one just up Watling Street went for 22 the other day. I should move quickly if you're interested.
We've got a few other huts we're looking at.
Yeah, well, fair enough. But I shouldn't hang around. I mean, I showed a nice couple around a similar property the other day. They went away to think about it and...
Someone else got an offer in first.
No. The place was burnt down by Vikings. Both of them were disemboweled. Stuck up on spits, you know. Just shows you the market's very active.
We've heard that. It's just that a friend of ours was telling us about some Roman houses going up over the wheel.
The modern developments were very well. I mean, you've got your underfloor heating, brick walls, atrium, so forth, but they're horribly expensive.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, if anything goes wrong, you know, HIPAA core starts leaking, you need a plumber.
Yes.
You have to get one over from Italy.
Yeah.
You'll be waiting months. Then they arrive, they don't speak Gaelic, take one look, say they've got to go back to Rome, get the right washer. I mean, it's much safer to stick to your mud hut.
Good and British.
Yeah, I'll just shut this door. I mean, it's all right. It's not a real dead dog. It's MDF.
And now back to the phone-in. The subject is Mike.
No, it isn't.
Yes, the subject is Mike, and frankly, the switchboard is virtually boiling over. So let's take a call. On the line is a Miss Lewinsky from Washington.
Hello, Mike. I'm sorry, darling. I didn't want to say nothing, but that special prosecutor made me...
He's not the only one, so I heard.
And let's move on to Mistress Lash in Bayswater.
Oh, come on, this is absurd.
No. On second thoughts, let's go to line two. Yes, on the line is Des Lynham.
Yeah, hello there. Just calling to say that I met Mike at a bit of a charity function a couple of years back, and, I can confirm that he does know very little about sport. So, just thought I'd let you know.
Oh, thanks a bunch.
So, for those who missed that call, here are the highlights. Met Mike once. He doesn't know anything about sport. Stay with us.
I have enjoyed this phone-in experiment. I think next time we'll just go back to doing the show as usual. This is far too dangerous.
Yes, I'm afraid that is all the calls we've got time for.
Next week, single parents, children and drugs, and absolutely no phone calls. I'm off now to a private view of the Royal Academy.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue was recorded at the Pleasance Theatre during the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. It was written by Steve Punt from a format by Bill Dare and starred Robert Duncan and Jan Ravens with Roger Blake, Alistair McGowan, Ronnie Ancona and Steve Punt. Music was by Mark Burton and the producer was Alid Evans.